Oh, here we are again with another program. We're in Hosea chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse number 6, God said, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." They were going through the motions, but they were not willing to let God have his way with them. Here's a question. Are you willing to let God have his way with you?
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you have him make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have him save you so that you can never fall? Let him have his way with thee.
Read in Hosea chapter 6 and verse number 1 that Hosea said, "Come, let us return unto the Lord." Their response to that, "Return? What are you talking about? We're at the temple every week. We're going through the services. We're putting our money in the offering plate." And God said, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Oh, they were going through the motions. And I think we do that a lot today, too. We have a little slip of paper on the pulpit, and we call it an order of service. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think we need to have order in the service, but I'm not too sure that our order of the service is a positive thing. I don't think they did that in the early church. I don't think they had a little piece of paper that said, "Sing, pray, sing, announcements, offering, a little special, and then you will have a sermonette to make Christianettes." I don't think they did that. I think that the Holy Spirit was in charge, and I think he'd like to be in charge today, but maybe he's just not on the order of service. I know years ago I was at a meeting at a very solid fundamental college, and somebody was preaching, and he gave an invitation, and I'll tell you, the Spirit of the Lord was really working, and people were down there at the front, and they were weeping, and I was one of them, and I saw one pastor behind the pulpit area there. He was taking his shoes off, because we were on holy ground. And while we were in that particular position in the service at that particular point, there was a loudspeaker that said, now supper will be ready in about 15 minutes. And so, yeah, forget the revival. We've got to get on, have some supper. Got to have the order of service. Now, I understand. If you're going to have a big organization like a college, you have to have an order of service. I understand that. What I'm saying is we can be going through the motions. We can have our order of service and order the Holy Spirit right out of the meeting. And so the Lord says in verse number 6, I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. The knowledge, he said in Hosea 6 and number 3, we need to follow on to know the Lord. Back in Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 1 through 9, God gives us the order there. He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. God said the knowledge of God is more than your burnt offerings. That's what we need. Then, he says in verse 9, shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. Well, verse 7 says, but they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Oh, yeah, they were at the temple. They were going through the motions every week. They had their order of service. God says they dealt treacherously against me. Hosea 5, verse 7 says, they have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. I think we've done the same thing. We have a lot of people, we're calling them child of God, children of God. They pray a prayer minus repentance. They're strange children. And these strange children are taking over our fundamental churches and bringing in their rock music and all the other trash that are coming into our churches today. And that's why, because these strange children have that strange attitude of the Egyptians of the world today, and they're bringing in the worldly music. And he says, God says, they have dealt treacherously against me. You'll find that phrase five times in Hosea. They're against me. Jeremiah 5 and 11 says, for the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse number 7 says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And of course, you remember the story there, they wanted a king. And God said, that's not the way to go. And Samuel said, that's not the way to go. And God said, give him the king. We'll see how that turns out. Well, we're seeing in this portion of scripture right now how it turned out. They're apostate. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 29 says, they withdrew the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. Psalm 81, verse 10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. Deuteronomy 1:26, ye would not go up, but ye rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. Isaiah 30:15, rest in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But he said, ye would not. Jeremiah 29:19, they have not hearkened unto my words. He said there, they would not hear. O Jerusalem, Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, same story. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, but ye would not. Verse 8, Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. But we read in Jeremiah 8:22, there is no balm in Gilead. Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? There is a balm in Gilead. There should be. That word balm is spelled B-A-L-M, by the way. No, there's no balm in Gilead. Ezekiel 3:17 says, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Give them warning from me. And if you give them not warning from me, he said, his blood will I require at thy hand. And that's what he's talking about here when he says they're polluted with blood. Verse 9, and as the troops of robbers wait for men, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. Now, they're not going out there and killing people with knives. It's used metaphorically here, and when we talk about murder, we usually talk about premeditated murder. And so they premeditated here. I'm not going to preach the whole counsel of God. It's sort of like what's going on a lot today, too. We're not going to preach the whole counsel of God. We're just going to preach the smooth things, and we're going to give consent to what the Bible calls lewdness here. Consent. Keep in mind, silence always gives consent. Well, he said in verse 10, God said, I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. Yeah, they're going through their motions. They're having their order of service. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. We read in Psalm 106, verse 39, thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. That word inventions has been translated doings 35 times. They're just doing what they want to do, never mind what God wants to do. Thus they were defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Well, in verse number 11, it says that the Lord has set a harvest for thee. Yeah, there's a payday that we're going to reap what we sow. Let's make sure that we're serving Jesus and not going to stand before him empty-handed when he returns.
Must I go and empty-handed? Must my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him. Lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? Not at death I shrink nor falter, for my Savior saves me now. But to meet him empty-handed, all of that now clouds my brow. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go. All the years in sinning wasted, would I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior, to his will I gladly bow. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed? Saints, arouse, be earnest, up and work while yet 'tis day, ere the night of death o'ertake me, strive for souls while still you may. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed.